Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast, the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies, TV, games, music, and pop culture, and your gateway to the Elseworld. I am your host this week, Brian. That's right, this week my name is Brian. No, I'm your host this week, and my name is Brian, and I will be your guide through the social re-engineering process and help you achieve divine nonchalance. Joining me on this journey, as always, are my good friends and not at all cult leaders, the chief engineer of Vital Orbit, an actual human force field. It's Ryan. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing well. Doing well. Man, I really wish I had something meta to say here, because that's what you do with ARGs.
Gotta
maybe
be meta.
It'll evolve as the show goes.
We get deeper into it, blur the lines of reality. Also joining me, the president and CEO of the Aquatic Thought Foundation, which of course is a privately funded research organization dedicated to the exploration of human-dolphin interaction, home of Cyberfin Immersive Dolphin Encounter Simulator. It's Sean!
Could you guys imagine if I was any more nonchalant? Like, would I even, like, what would be my porpoise?
Oh, wow. Well done. Well,
I feel like if you were more nonchalant, you'd fold in on yourself.
Yes, achieve divine nonchalance and the perfect pun.
Christ, sure.
And finally, we have the inventor of the algorithm. That's not Al Gore dancing. That is a revolutionary handheld device that intervenes and rights any potential conflict before it arises. It's Kyle.
Yeah, I used that algorithm to reach into an alternate universe where I actually invented the number one rated bodybuilding podcast, and it's called a bodcast.
Ooh, a bodcast. I like it. It's good stuff.
Whoever got that
dollars
name
off of it too. But not this version. This guy still sucks. Sorry.
The current present version of me could never come up with a pun that good.
No. He sucks.
Gotta go through the multiverse to achieve that kind of awesomeness. All right, so today we are talking about The Institute, a 2012 documentary directed by Spencer McCall. On the surface, it looks like a pretty straightforward documentary about a strange organization in San Francisco. But very quickly, it turns into something much weirder and harder to define. I'm going to go into a brief synopsis of the movie now and kind of the bigger experience that inspired the documentary. At the center of the film is something called the Jejun Institute, which was a real-world immersive experience that ran in San Francisco in the late 2000s. It presented itself as kind of a self-help organization, but that was really just the entry point. People would come across it through flyers and strange advertisements or word of mouth, and once they reached out, they were pulled into a much larger layered experience. Participants weren't just observing something, they were actively involved. They were given phone numbers to call, locations to visit, and tasks to complete out in the real world. As they went deeper, they started encountering actors, hidden narratives, and even rival organizations, all of which blurred the lines between fiction and reality. What makes the Jejun Institute especially interesting is that it didn't clearly define itself as a game. There weren't explicit rules, there wasn't a clear objective, and there wasn't really a traditional win condition. Instead, it functioned more like a piece of immersive performance art, something that unfolded over time and depended heavily on how much each participant chose to engage with it. The documentary follows several people who went through the experience, and you see a wide range of reactions. Some treat it like a fun puzzle or a scavenger hunt, while others become deeply invested to the point where it starts to affect how they think about the experience and even their everyday lives. So what you end up with is something that sits right at the intersection of an alternate reality game, interactive theater, and social experiment. And that's really what we're going to be digging into today, not just what this was, but why something like this exists and why people are so drawn to it in the first place. So I guess my first question for you boys is, have you heard of this before, the Jejun Institute and this giant ARG that happened out in San Francisco?
I was not familiar with it outside of a couple of weeks ago when you brought up the TV show.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and Sarah was like, there was a TV show made about this. I watched it. It's really good.
Oh, so Sarah's familiar with Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, she knew it by name.
randomly came across that during COVID and I was like, okay, this show is pretty awesome. And when I found out it was inspired by like an actual thing that happened in San Francisco, I was like, okay, I need to learn more about this. And of course did a whole deep dive.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this before. And I'm a big fan of ARGs. So that was pretty shocking to me, actually. I've never heard of this at all. So
100% same as Kyle. Love ARGs. This one flew under the radar somehow. This and Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, if it wasn't for being such a big fan of Jason Segel, I probably would have completely missed this one too. But I heard I think he wrote and directed it, Dispatches from Elsewhere, and is entirely based off of just seeing this documentary. He wasn't part of the original game or anything. He was just like, oh, that's cool. And like me, did a deep dive and was like, okay, I need to make something.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. So I guess we'll just talk about ARGs in general. What is an ARG?
An alternate reality game.
An alternate reality game.
Yeah.
And not one of those ones that you put on a headset for. Like, we're talking about in reality, but you get to live an alternate to what's going on in the world.
They usually interweave. Yeah. One of my pages.
I feel like it's
notes.
It's so hard now with like AR goggles and all of these things, I think, to bring something like this up and for somebody who has no idea to understand that distinction. I think Ryan put it really great in the chat that it's like an escape room in real life.
Yeah, it's like the Jejun Institute in particular is like a giant escape room, but the room is San Francisco.
Yeah.
I was going to say, one of my pages of notes here is a list of like 7 of my favorite ARGs.
Ooh.
The first one.
Favorites?
Yeah, well, they're mostly video game based anyways. We talked about it in our Cloverfield episode. The first one I actively participated in was Cloverfield. But the first one I knew about and the first time I ever heard of an ARG was one called I Love Bees, which was for Halo 2.
For Halo 2, yeah.
I read all about that after it had happened because I was just hyped on Halo 2. But that was really cool. It was about like an AI that gets sent kind of back in time and it's stuck here on Earth and it's telling us about the Halo shit.
Well, that just unlocked a fear. What if AI achieves time travel? Oh, yeah. How fucked are we then?
Oh yeah, dog. I also have a note
disappear
on the other page about AI, which was my last note I wrote about after I finished this movie, which was AI is going to make this awful.
Oh yeah. I mean, one of the things I have is talking about, is this even possible to do now?
Yeah.
Something at this scale. I mean, with how interactive the internet is, and just like, I feel like Reddit and Discord, you'd have somebody solving stuff like this. Like
Streaming, like going to the coolest thing I remember about ARGs back in the day was like people going to like the real life locations and then uploading pictures of them like doing something. And you just like, again, I wrote that too, like watching this, hearing some of the people talk that I don't think were so much actors, but like they talk a lot about these things being like a cult, especially this one. The chick has like the tattoo. It's such a big part of her life. And so much of this, I think it's especially these that like when I was doing them, it's cool because you're like in on something that not everybody else is in on. Like, and it's happening live and you're figuring it out. It is a puzzle. And like your best friend couldn't give a shit less, and you know something he doesn't know, and it's this cool little in-group type thing, and I think that feeds into a lot of them, and I think especially this one, the Junji Institute, because it was so physical and involved. Like if you were in it, man, like it's weird. It seemed like it changed people's lives, and then like for them to do what they did at the end, kind of.
Yeah, it really seems like they just kind of ran out of money and didn't know how to.
Yeah, well, I think they said they did at one point, like, which is same also crazy when you see that this went for like 5 years.
Yeah,
or 4 years. Yeah, it was like 3 years from 2008 to 2011. So yeah, 4 years.
Crazy. I have a hard time figuring, like, I have a hard time thinking of how they could have really done anything. Like, what do you do to pay that off that's actually practical and something that you can do in real life? Right. That, again, like they said, like, what are you going to do? Attack this old man? Like, even if that's what they wanted you to do, like, that's where you're blurring the lines a bit too much and taking it from a game into, like, too far.
I also wonder if they might have run into an incident where, like, they were like, we need to end this game because this actor who plays Octavio Coleman Esquire is actually getting threats or something.
Yeah.
Because they definitely played fast and loose with the reality of it and didn't make it as obvious that it was a game the whole time. And so, well, yeah, there's definitely some ethical questions behind it, too.
Well, speaking of ethics, one of the other notes I had was, you know, billionaires could do this stuff instead.
Right?
Yeah.
Why the fuck aren't they, like, trying to out-arg each other? Why is that not the fucking billionaire dick-waving contest?
Could you imagine that in today's day and age, though? Like, half the stuff that I saw in this is things that right now, the Overlord 2026 would not be happening. Those marches to that building and chasing that dude into a limo, like, that is not happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, the scavenger hunty stuff, absolutely. And that would be an absolute blast. But, like, pushing almost like a political, a movement like that, ooh, shut down.
That's why it started to feel kind of culty to people. Was because of those kind of incidents. And it also, I guess, Gordo, the person who was kind of leading that march, was actually under instruction to make sure nobody approached the limo. Like, they were all supposed to do jazz hands at the limo as their protest. But once people saw the guy, they were like, they rushed the limo. And the limo driver didn't even know what was going on. So it's just really interesting stuff.
Woof.
Yeah. Huh. So at what point does it stop being a game and become something else?
I think there's something to be said for what Kyle said about the one that got elsewhere tattooed on her wrist. And I think there's so many different avenues, especially in this specific case, that I can go. You have game, you have people taking it too real, there's the culty ones, and then there's people who, like, it can change their life in a way, like she described it. It's like going to, like, a movie that kind of changes you and you leave and things are a little bit brighter. Like, I completely, by the end of this, I saw things completely from her point of view. I'm like, man, I would have absolutely loved that, even to just change my perspective on the day to day and kind of put some meaning into the things around me.
Just and having if they more can help somebody do that for the things around you.
And if it did for her, like, that's amazing. Like, it could have legitimately changed her life for the better. But there's in this where like, man, it could have really gone bad.
Yeah.
But cool, too. Imagine, like I said, walking through that above-ground mausoleum, like, following clues, coming across a fucking boombox. Dude.
And then walking around blindfolded, trusting the people you're with that you've never met.
Would have blown me away, man.
Yep.
Would have been one of the greatest things probably ever. I would still think about that to this day.
Yeah. No matter how it ended, I would still think back to that experience that I had.
I still think about the Cloverfield one.
And the what Niners was Nails that?
One. Just like you were hacking into websites and reading like these behind the scenes things of like people trying to send messages like, oh, hey, this isn't all what it looks to be like. Those sort of like the Nine Inch Nails one, too, except those people were sending messages back from the future, which is really present because the whole album is literally what's happening right now. But that's besides the point. That one was wild, too, man. Just and again, it was part of being in on it. And like, I don't know, it's like live TV. Like every time a new update happens, there's this scramble of activity as people are talking about it and like making their analyses, and it builds these little communities that come together. And were we talking about generational memes last week? Was that?
Yeah, it was recent. Yeah.
It's sort of like that, just like this internet community thing that was magical. And I wished I could have done one in real life like this. I always think that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've done something similar on like an online thing. Like Cards Against Humanity did a, when they do their holiday bullshit, they did like a puzzle game that was part of a couple of them, like 2 years in a row. They did like a puzzle that was attached to it. And there was a whole subreddit. It was r/holiday bullshit. And people were split up into groups and trying to solve puzzles. And like, it was all happening real time. And they ended up crediting the win to the entire subreddit. And there were like five people who solved the five main clues and they all got prizes. But it was just like really cool to be a part of and like seeing the updates live. And it's just, it's fun to be a part of. And it's funny because like recently on our Discord server, Ryan, you've been running this mystery box game that kind of feels like a ARG light version of this. That's pretty cool.
Very similar. Yeah. I think one of the big components of an ARG is what it's been talked around is the sense of community and having like the communal brain trust of answers coming together. And the ARGs like get really, really vague and like the clues can be really hard and cryptic and hidden in weird places. And it's fine because you have so many people working on it that you're going to exhaust all options and ultimately get there. So yeah, there's similarities. Absolutely. I think it's very fascinating.
It's a lot of fun. And I think, was it you that said it's like, yeah, like an escape room, but like mm-hmm. in the real world, escape rooms almost feel like the gateway drug here.
I think now just, so, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a few
after
they're a little different because like, you know, there's a win condition and there's a set amount of time and the, you know, it's a game going in and all of that. But I think there's real similarities in that you're a group of people coming together to try to solve a problem in a fun environment.
We did one once where we were just in a normal room. And I remember I found a hidden button and it was just my family and like, there's a fucking whole other secret lab behind this book door. And like it popped open and they're all like, what? And I was like, oh yeah, bitches, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Good stuff. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, in my area, Brian, you might know about this. It was less of an ARG and more of like a real life scavenger hunt where this dude had hidden like a couple $100,000 worth of gold in the middle of the woods.
Oh, damn.
And every day he would take, so on the website, it had a circle that would get smaller and smaller and smaller. And there was just little bits of clues of like a drone shot of, so you could see like trees from a certain angle and you had to analyze where like the sun was coming from, look at timestamps.
Damn.
And every day it got smaller and smaller, and every now and again he would put out more photos. And man, for a good like 2 months, that's all anybody who knew about it was talking about.
There's
it's pretty cool.
That's interesting because there's like a couple Instagram and TikTok accounts in the Kansas City area that they hide cash. It's like in like a little lockbox somewhere in the city, and they give out clues in the morning. And, you know, that's they're sick. Obviously raising money in a way to do this because they're going viral with their posts. They're making the money, but they also have like if you join their Patreon, you get the clues a little bit earlier and yep. stuff like that. But it's like a really cool idea and they're just putting cash out into the community. And it's interesting for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's fire. I would, never mind. I'll save this for our Patreon show. this is going to be fucked up.
Another cool ARG that I did follow, and it was another one. Like, the thing about the year 01 was, like, it would have real-life things for, like, the people that were actively there, but it also would benefit, usually, the community as a whole, too. Like, it was a lot of times that you got early tracks from the record, like somebody found a USB stick and it had, Survivalism, I think, was on that one. And like, just to upload to all of us to listen to, but he also like, it was shit like that. But Afterbirth was a Binding of Isaac DLC. I remember following this one live, and when it finally ended, the people got access to a Twitter account, and they got access to a password, and they had to make this character speak. And when they posted, it unlocked a new character for the whole game for everybody. And it was, again, I love shit like that, but they had to go like to a specific place and dig up like an actual little Binding of Isaac statue that had the Twitter like account password written on it. Just shit like that, dude. Like that, it's indescribable, like the feeling that you get. And just the physical payoff, like, oh, I can literally go play this character now. Shit's wild. Mm-hmm. ARGs are amazing. And I think they also maybe have hit the high water mark.
How so? What do you mean?
I don't think they'll be as good. Maybe. I don't know. Again, I really worry about AI's influence on these.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that there's a way to use AI to enhance them. But the trouble is always how much of it do you actually use? Yeah, because too much and people are going to be turned off by it immediately. And it also has the potential to ruin them by, you know, people using them to try to find the answers and solve the puzzles.
That too.
So now that the puzzles happens. Have to get more complicated.
I wrote down two final notes on this movie, and I think that they would go a long way. Because when I first started, the first one I wrote was, this wheelchair guy is bullshit, right?
He's gotta be.
And then at the end of the movie, I wrote, okay, so this whole documentary is bullshit, right?
So a few of the people in the documentary are actually in the credits as actors. So like Daniel Shoup plays this guy, Kelvin Williams, who's the guy in like the red scarf, who's the one who broke into the house and then went got lost in the tunnels under San Francisco.
And then comes out and those real people are filming.
People had to go and rescue him. He was an actor who was part of the experience. But they include him in the documentary, like he's a participant.
Yeah.
It's wild stuff.
That's interesting.
The whole documentary becomes like, is this part of it? Or it becomes its own intriguing thing and you go down the rabbit hole.
It was a weird thing to watch because like I did like it, but also I felt like I was duped in a part and I'm like,
yeah,
it was a weird watch. I gotta admit, I liked a lot of parts of it, but then the other parts where I felt like again, like the wheelchair guy, I'm like, this is complete fake.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still interesting. I was hooked the whole time. Totally passed the cell phone test.
When the
Sasquatch showed up dancing, I was
the Sasquatch dancing was like, okay, that was actually the part of the show, because a lot of the stuff that happens in the documentary also happens in the show. When the Sasquatch shows up at the dance, I'm like, yes, I'm in 100%. I will figure out where this rabbit hole goes.
I gotta watch this show.
Yeah, and it's
you've seen. I mean,
San Francisco in the 2000s, early 2000s, late 2000s was just ripe for this kind of thing. There was tons of money in the area, counterculture and technology all kind of coming together to do this thing. Like there's a part where they have to go and borrow radios from a store and then go to this park where there's like a low frequency radio broadcast to listen to for clues.
Pirate just radio.
Wild shit that must That's have taken so, so much planning. I went looking for like I went looking for blog posts from people who actually like participated in this. And I found one that was like in depth about like all the stuff they had to go through in each of the four phases. And it's way bigger than even the documentary makes it look like.
Quite, yeah.
It's wild.
Dang. I was just going to say, I'm a sucker for whenever somebody calls a payphone.
Yeah.
Once they called a payphone, I was like,
call a payphone, give you a code word to send you to another payphone.
Yeah.
And then you get to dance with a Sasquatch. Yeah, I'm in.
Dude. Yeah. It was so hype.
Jumpsuit, I
was so
jealous.
I really like a lot of the ARG experience, but that is one of the things that does wig me out a little bit is when it crosses the line like the payphone and you're talking to somebody and it does push against the reality a bit too much. Right now, there's an ARG for the movie Undertone, speaking of A24, And it's all done. You have to hook up your microphone and talk with the computer. And I immediately noped out of it. I was like, this is probably really cool. That skeezed me out. No, thank you. Nope.
That was actually a question I was going to ask. Like, at what point would you nope out of this?
There's a few. I think probably earlier than anybody else here. I know for sure. At least, I don't know. All three of you, I think, would go pretty far. I think once you guys get into a mystery, I don't think any of you can help it but to just keep going.
I think if I spent 4 hours at a fucking hotel, I would be so pissed off.
I would have been watching the dude be given birth to. Yeah, that was.
And then it's just, the guy.
Holy shit! Talk about a jump scare.
Definitely seems like the finale was very disappointing for a lot of people. But I don't even know how you wrap up something like that.
That's true too.
Yeah, I get it. 4 years. Yeah. I want to believe that. And this is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to make up an alternate reality for myself.
Yes.
Is that if they didn't put the tea balls into the water and they just steadfast refused the whole time, even though he's like, oh, come on. And they're just nope. A SWAT team booted in the doors and just blasted away these guys. And they won.
Nobody's more upset than the people that organized it. Like, nobody tried to take out fucking Coleman. Come on.
Yeah.
One person. We had him. We had Squibs lining his whole robe outfit, and we couldn't do anything.
They should have just like popped off anyways. Just like him be like, oh, this is too much. And he shoots himself in the head, but like all the Squibs on his body go off instead. That would have been funny as shit. I appreciate that. Jejun is an actual word that like kind of gives it all away.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked anything up, that just means without any significance, like
mm-hmm. pointless.
Like this is just a fool's errand.
So like, do you think the not knowing where it goes is the part that keeps people hooked to it? Like just, you have to solve the mystery. Or is it the community and the art of it all?
I think it's a mixture of all. I think it's all both those things, but then I also do think there is a bit of to what Kyle, I think, maybe hinted at earlier a little bit, is like knowing something that somebody else doesn't. And I do mm-hmm. think there's some of that too, just in our human nature. Like we are trying to like, I think a lot of us, make ourselves better than our surroundings in a lot of ways. And I think it's kind of nature to be like, all right, well, I think I can be smart. And if this is stumping other people, like I want to see if I can maybe stump them and see if I can do it. And I think there's a drive there that can really hook people the same way a community can, the same way all of this stuff can. I think it's just different. Like it's that triangle slider. And everybody's just in a different part of that triangle slider, but it's those three pillars that make up everybody.
Community, mystery, and...
And is it ego? Slight ego? Slight,
it could be ego, yeah.
It could be that.
Propelling? I don't know how to phrase that, but...
I think there's a better way than like ego. A little dash of, like, not cult, but like secret society kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like you are part of this thing that other people don't know about. And it's like, especially in something like this, where in order to even know about this, people are ripping off tags of the most ridiculous posters. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's calling like, a number and getting invited to this initiation ceremony. Yeah. The whole thing is you got to go through some shit to get involved. And it's crazy that there's this whole giant thing happening in San Francisco, and all these other people are just walking around completely unaware of it. So there's definitely a level of that.
Yeah. And there are people in on this to such a, like, I love that the main headquarters of this was in the high rent district. They go into this building, they talk to the receptionist who has like a secret key to go and do this. Like there was such crazy layers to this that are kind of unexpected, because if someone were to do this around me, probably around you guys as well, it would not be in the rich, rich part of town. It wouldn't be based out of there. Like, that's going to take crazy money to get that going and keep it going for X amount of time.
I guess they had an art grant from the city of San Francisco.
Oh, that's pretty part of their funding. That's pretty sick. Okay. So they got like $100. That's cool. It's San Francisco, this too. went a long way back there. I think they said
10,000 people were part of this.
Wow.
Which is insane. And then I guess they lost like 75% of people at each of the four acts. And then you ended up with like 150 people showing up to the conference at the end.
It's a weird balance to have to strike because it is one of those you want to see it through. But also, like, where do you end it? You can't really end it. And people, like, there's X amount of people that will just keep going with it. Mm-hmm. And then people will join in on it, and it's like this revolving thing, but it's got to end.
And you got to plan for
it. It was a fascinating idea.
Going back to Lost, too, I think there's just like, you can't please everybody, also. Like, when you're this invested in something, you start like really double downing on your thoughts and your beliefs on what it is and where it's going. And I think that becomes like a detriment to any ending that's not what you've already envisioned in your head.
Right.
And I think people struggle with that, understandably so, but like, I think that's a struggle.
Not only in that regard, but also I think a big problem with a lot of these is, and it's just human nature, but I think if you're so physically involved in something, the nature to overhype it in general, because you've been physically involved, you are a part of it, and then for it to be such a letdown, especially think about if somebody was in this from day one. This thing has been a part of their life from 4 years, and then that's insane, dude. It's that's where like I start to have a slight issue with like the overreachingness of it, because to purposefully I can't tell if it was a deliberate letdown to be like, haha, or like, I don't understand that.
It's hard to tell, especially with the documentary being as, I don't know, unclear what's real and what's not as it is. Like, even to the point where the founder, Jeff Hull, is talking about at the end of the documentary about how it's all a tribute to Ava, this girl that we went missing in the 80s. And then you find out with a little bit more research that Ava's not even a real person.
No, of course not.
She doesn't exist. Jump.
No.
Yeah.
I was like, that's obviously a background character thing here. And then they're trying to present that as real. And I'm like, what are we doing? What?
Right.
That's what it's just. Yeah.
It's just a mystery box wrapped in a mystery box. We're going to ask a lot of questions and maybe you'll get some answers. I'm just talking about Lost again. Sorry.
Once you hit year like two or three, like if you're not heaven's gating at the end of this, it's going to be a letdown.
They do talk about like, that too.
Right. They start asking you to put the flour in the water and drink it. Like, I promise this isn't like an ascension thing.
Honestly, I think that's the only way that anyone would have found that satisfactory is if like half of the people did that and the other half were just like, that was great. I'm done, guys. And like half of March is dead.
You know? Yeah, half like, the people die and the other one just go, all right, I'm out. That's it.
We found the line. Good. I'm out. I'm good.
Thank you.
I knew this guy was fucked up.
Waiter, check please. I'm ready to go.
I think they could have done something fun with that where it actually had like sleeping medication or something. I mean, this was like the early 2010s. You could get away with drugging people, probably.
I do. Ryan talks about us taking it all the way.
Cereal?
I think Bill Cosby tried that as a defense and it didn't work.
I would have serious reservations going into a hotel room and like checking in, like when they do the pre-screen. That part was like, dude, I don't know.
Especially with how weird the doctor guy was acting. Yeah.
That they have it in I got creep vibes when she's like, all right, just come in here. And it's literally the fucking bedroom of the hotel. Yeah. And it's like, are they making him get on the bed? What is fucking, it was.
Yeah.
But very weird.
Sketch.
Vibes.
Very sketchy. And then you have people like the wheelchair guy who obviously was making up his story, but I think was a way of showing that some people like took this a little too seriously and went a little extreme.
Got hurt.
I was reading something from one of the creators that was like, we had 10,000 participants and like there were probably like 100 of them that were probably a little off kilter to begin with and and bought in too much too fast, took the thing way too seriously. And it's funny because they actually have a character like that. Andre 3000's character in the Dispatches from Elsewhere kind of goes down that rabbit hole. So it's interesting.
Ryan's got to watch this show now.
I know, yeah. I saw that the other day, and that's what hooked me. You said Jason Segel. I saw Andre 3000. I was like, in. And you're not playing flute? Double in.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
You kind of have to have seen that coming, too, though. Like, I referenced, like 100%. Half of the people that went to this were off of flyers with the, you know, the little pulley things as they call this number for like what you did in the intros of the show. Like,
yeah, those were the all force field from the flyers, and, force fields yeah. and talking to dolphins and stuff like that.
So you have the people who are just like, what the fuck is this? And they want to call because it's like ridiculous and find out. I don't even know if I'm that curious.
Okay, but
I know there.
Would you now?
Oh, hell yeah. After having seen this, yes.
Yeah.
But back then, it's those people and the ones that believe that.
Right. Like, oh, I can talk to dolphins. Let's fucking do this.
Yeah. Dude,
the fake little video of the girl and her mom taking the tour through the city and like having to watch that and follow that. Oh, that would have hooked me so hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Have earphones in and be getting a walking tour. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff in this.
This blue box gives me a headache.
Great.
Are you guys familiar with like the more recent art installation stuff like Meow Wolf? They have a thing in Las Vegas called Omega Mart. And before you Google it, let me tell you, you will get a ton of ads for it if you visit their website because they are targeting like a motherfucker. I did Omega Mart when I was in Vegas a couple years ago. And it's such a cool experience because it presents as just like a regular grocery store. And then you go in and there's like all this weird stuff in it. And then you like go through the coolers and you're in like a whole different experience. And if you want, you can pay extra money to do like this whole mystery thing that has a narrative, or you could just walk around and enjoy like the weirdness of it. I did not do the narrative, but it's such a cool thing. And like, just like the ARGs, there's no end game to it per se. Like it's not selling something. It's not unlocking anything, kind of like the Jejun Institute. It's just an experience. And it's cool. And I think they just actually built one of those in Kansas City called Atlas 9. And it is a 90s movie theater themed. And I'm like, I got to go to this. Shit. I got to check this out.
Now you're talking my language, dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Question. If if that tour took 4 years to complete, would you have been disappointed at the end of it? With a conclusion that you were given, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think I would have been pretty bummed at the
VIP. But an hour was fine. Sean? What's that?
Or did you do the VIP thing, or did you just walk through the store too?
No, we didn't even do that. But it was literally you get to Vegas and no matter what you pull up, you are blasted with it. And that actually was what made me not do it, because I'm like, this is just so in your face that it can't be that good.
Come to Area 15 and do the Omega Mart by Meow Wolf. Yeah.
But everyone that's been to it has been like, oh, it was so much. It was so good.
It's super cool.
And I'm kicking myself. But yeah, they're hyper aggressive with their advertising.
They absolutely are. I will concede that they go overboard with the ads for sure. Like just preparing for this episode, I went on their website and I just know for the next 4 weeks, it's going to be nothing but Meow Wolf ads on my Facebook and Instagram.
It's probably better than what it could be. Sarah and I talk about a lot of, you know, stuff for the house or jewelry or whatever. And next thing you know, it's like, well, I don't even search it up. And that shit's just all what my Instagram is or all that pops up on Facebook for the 2 seconds I'm on it.
It could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely. I know some people have some really gnarly ads on theirs. I'm like, well, I'm glad mine are just like rings and lingerie sometimes.
I've been getting a lot of ring ads lately.
Interesting. Wait, yeah. Rings or ring like the security camera?
Like ring.
Okay, that makes
like
sense.
Like jewelry.
Yeah.
It's weird how it targets.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how it knows, but.
It's very weird.
Yeah, right? I almost guarantee
it's like, oh, you've been in a relationship for a while. Why don't we start sending you these ads?
100%. 100%.
I'll probably get them because my computer's listening to this conversation too right now.
Yep.
You will absolutely get them because of that.
One that kind of flirts the line, but is also, oh yeah, one of the better. I think it would classify as an arc, but it's really just a book that you read. But are you guys familiar with House of Leaves?
I thought you were going to go somewhere else.
I thought you were going to go into Choose Your Own Adventure books.
That's what I thought too.
House of Leaves could kind of be that way, though. House of Leaves, it might. I would like to do it, but it's a crazy dense book. It'd be a big investment, so I don't think that. But to give you the rundown, it is a crazy, insane, like I said, very dense book. The way that it even like physically presented, the guy that wrote it like personally drove to the printing place and like lined up each page because the way that like things are presented in the book are unique. But essentially like what it is, it's about there's also four different narratives that are told in the book and they each have their own different font to tell you.
Oh, that's wild.
It's crazy. And there's footnotes and then there's footnotes in those footnotes that reference like movies that don't exist or it's insane, but it's wild. It's about essentially a haunted house, the House of Leaves. This guy moves in and he starts documenting it because he realizes it's bigger inside than it is on the outside. He starts measuring.
It's like a TARDIS.
And then each time it's different and it starts. Yeah, that's one of the pages. Dude, it's insane to go through. Ryan, it would scratch your brain like crazy. It's very conspiracy theory.
I immediately looked it up, and if it wasn't coming up for $125, I would heavily consider it just right now.
If I can find my copy, I will mail it to you, friend. I own this book. I told you, this book is wild, dog. It's a crazy... It was originally like an internet thing, too, and then the guy got a book deal. And like I said, I mean, he personally like compiled each page. So
I found it on Amazon for $22.
There you go. I will.
Okay, I don't know where I was looking.
Yeah, so, I am buying this.
It is very
one of
intrigued.
The craziest, like, stories, haunted house things I've ever read. You guys are going to love it. I'm excited. Now I want to reread it, too.
Cool.
Yeah,
I just love experimental art bullshit. Pages.
I honestly thought it was going to be much larger.
Big fan of artistic.
One of the first questions I saw on Google, though, was, is House of Leaves hard to read? And the answer was, yes, it is considered very dense and difficult.
It is. I've said the word dense three times. I will be on record.
One of the first things that I read was, it is a story within a story within a story within a story.
Yep.
Like I told you, there's four different narratives presented telling about the house and...
I love that's when a people get good weird representation with their shit. Of like a static ARG. If an ARG is interactive and you have the whole community around it,
that's why I said
this
it's
is like
kind
a static form. And
yeah,
I think similarly, you could also put in like analog horror in the same context here. And if you're not familiar with analog
I love
horror,
analog
it's like,
horror, dog.
Dude, me too. And Scratch is very similar to all this because it's low fidelity, like. Very like VHS quality material on YouTube, usually short videos with like vague things and like hints that just kind of give you an overarching idea of like kind of what's happening, but it never ever tells you. And it just
like
clues
the back
you
rooms.
In little by little. The back rooms is the I think rooms. The famous one, but there's like local 58.
Also hearing really good buzz about that.
Dude, we were talking about the commercials, infomercials, not far long ago. I have it written down because I can never remember the name of it.
Too
but
many
this
cooks.
House has people in it.
Too oh, many this cooks. House has people
that
in
one.
It too.
which had an ARG around it. And like there were like separate like hour long like commercials for this one commercial to like flesh out the world and tell you what was going on, as like people all around were just falling through the floor and then slowly into the ground and they don't know what's happening. All told through like security cam footage from a security cam company, and like what's the security company doing? It's really all very interesting, but again, it's like this static horror, but
you know,
it develops a community around it.
That's interesting. This whole thing kind of feels like the chair company.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay.
The chair company gives exactly that kind of vibe.
It might be taking chair some influence from this analog horror. It's
very much ARG. If you guys also feel frisky, you don't have to watch the whole thing, but Sean mentioned the SWAT team breaking things up earlier, and I sent this video from the end of the Nine Inch Nails ARG, ended up with like this secret underground concert that Nine Inch Nails literally fucking performed for 30 minutes. And then at the very end, it ends with them, the whole show gets broken up by a SWAT team. Like these fucking hired cop guys come in and like flash bomb and like rush people out. But like,
that's how you do an ending.
Yes. How you do the ending. And it's also great because they start to play Perfect Drug, which at that time was a song they had never played live before, so it was also like a big fuck you, because they start to play it and then the cops and come in.
That's amazing.
It's such a great fuck you, dude.
Dude, that's incredible. I will say the Dispatches from Elsewhere has a slightly different ending than the Jejun Institute actual game, and I'm not gonna spoil it for you guys if you end up watching it,
but Ryan and I will it is probably give it
a little more satisfying.
Yeah, one season.
You're
going
to get your goal either way, because you were going to go with either that or this documentary, you said. And now we're going to do both anyways.
Yeah. This is one of those things, like, as soon as it ended, and Sarah mentioned the show, and she immediately looked. She's like, oh, it's on Netflix. Like, okay, well, we're watching that. Sick. Oh, yeah, man.
I definitely think like there's an arc to this thing. It's like escape rooms to holiday bullshit to Omega Mart to like, oh, shit, I'm actually the demographic for exactly this kind of thing, aren't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To this book that, like, Kyle, that book, House of Leaves, you mentioned that. And I was like, wow, I just came across that book like 2 months ago when I was looking for mind bendy.
It's definitely that, man.
Books. And I group that into stuff like this. If you have a knack to want to solve things or follow clues, and it's most base of forms to in the most active.
I think that's one of the reasons I classify this sort of in the ARG category, because when the book came out and so many people were reading it, there was a lot of that because like I said, it's very dense and it is a puzzle in itself to kind of put it together. So that was where the community was, because people were like, oh no, that's happening here because he mentioned it back here in this page. And it was shit like that. Everybody's like, oh, that it was like almost like you see like a wiki or the Bible, as you mentioned earlier in our Patreon. Go give us money, you bastards. It kind of comes in, you know, the way it all flows together, and it's great shit.
Yeah, and you guys have brought up Lost 100 times. Like, it's the same thing there. Really, anything absolutely like a show that can get you talking afterwards and trying to figure out and piece things together. And I know not everybody in here is into God damn, what's that show with Adam Scott there? Severance.
Severance.
Like every time Severance ended, and just reading theories and trying to figure out exactly what's going on and chatting with people like, what do you think this meant? And what is this? What is going to happen? Oh my God. Like, there is really nothing like a piece of media or any medium in general that can give that sense of community and trying to do something together.
There was a show on Apple TV, The Big Door Prize.
With Roy from The Office.
Yes. And
not The Office, IT Crowd.
IT, yeah. I hate that it got canceled because it was another one of these like mystery boxes. Like, what is this thing? Where is this going? And it gave big Dispatches from Elsewhere energy. And I loved it. And I just wanted to see where it went. And then they got canceled.
Mm-hmm. That is really sad.
Speaking of similar to that, I stumbled upon it last year and started talking about it kind of, but have you guys ever seen or heard of the show Jury Duty?
Yes. I watched the first season. I have not watched the new one.
Is the new one out? Because I want to watch that where it's like a corporate retreat.
Yeah, I think it's out now.
Okay. I want to watch that one. But that first season was wild because literally it's all like an ARG to one guy. I mean, it's all just really a prank. It's not really a puzzle, but just I would watch that too. I don't know. It's a different sort of thing though. Cause again, you're a passive. The
active. Yeah, it's more Truman ARG. Show-esque.
Yeah, very much more.
I can tell looking at the cast and who's playing who and who's not James playing Marsden somebody.
Also plays like an amplified version of himself, which is great. He's always talking about auditioning. And he's so annoying. It's hilarious.
That's crazy. He takes a giant shit. Awesome.
Not really, but breaks a hotel toilet. It's a great bit, man.
Man, no matter what this turned out to be, Brian, like I thought it was what really gave it away to me is when I was trying to figure, I couldn't remember what we were watching. And yesterday I looked in our chat and then I Googled it and it was like this movie. And nothing referred to it as a documentary ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is happening? And I went all squinty eyed GIF because I was like, huh, you're misgendering this movie.
I think this movie misrepresents itself for sure, and it does it intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the end of it, it all made complete sense.
Meant to make you ask questions and look more into this thing. Yeah. Because the company that did the Jejun Institute still exists. I mean, if you go to, what is it, nonchalance.com, they've done other art installation since then.
Oh, cool. Huh. Okay.
It's just nonchalance.com. Yep. And it's the same symbol.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The I've heard it referred to as the rabbit hole because it's a circle with two ears.
Mm. Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good. No, I'm the, mad that they took that.
The Latitude Society. Oaklandish, yeah, that's a Jejun Institute, and Signal, spelled all cool like Mortal Kombat, but
apparently the woman with the glasses that you see talking on the documentary slash movie, Sarah Thacher, actually went on to work for Disney and did a lot of the stuff within the Star Wars universe, trying to set up how they should interact with guests and set up storylines. So like, these people went on to do awesome stuff after this.
Wow. That makes sense. That's really, are you talking about the parks?
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet people who are good D&D game masters would also really good at designing these kind of puzzles.
Dude, it's funny because, like, I listen to Dungeons & Daddies, and the guy who DMs most of their seasons, Anthony Birch, is also, he also did, like, the storyline for, I want to say it was Borderlands 2?
With Handsome Jack, yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, amazing. So, like, of course
he's a good
Love
DM.
Anthony Birch.
Mm-hmm. Anthony Birch is amazing.
Ever since the Discovery days, I've been following him.
Wow. Yeah. The best Borderlands.
I was going to say his sister voices Ashley. Tiny Tina.
Yep, she does. And Aloy from Horizon.
Who voices Butt Stallion?
I think that's the guy that does
Butt Stallion. Jack.
Oh, is it nice. Handsome Jack too?
I'm pretty sure it's that guy.
I just wanted to say Butt Stallion. That's
Butt Stallion's great.
And then you find out like the guys that do Hello from the Magic Tavern are all work for Jackbox Games. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this all makes sense.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, the narrator is the guy that used to do You Don't Know Jack, right? Cookie? Oh, Jack Box, that's where it comes from. I think it's why it's Jack Box.
Yeah.
Okay, if you go to the Jack Box website, you don't know Jack is in its universe. It's
okay,
like its oldest, oldest games. Yeah.
I picked up on that. You didn't know that, Ryan?
Arnie Niekamp and Adol Rifai. They all do. Like, if you're playing Jackbox, they're like the narrators on a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I need to start watching that then. It's been brought up so many times.
Lots of interesting podcasts that are connected to like the gaming universe that aren't about gaming.
That's probably the one I'm most interested in at this point. One that is not about gaming.
Do you think that listeners have figured out that every single episode for the last 207 episodes, we have left one very specifically said word in every episode? And if they piece it together, it actually gives a clue as to the next step.
I almost pulled a Gus. I'm just kidding. What word? Insert bleep here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot about that.
Hey, if you guys like communities and puzzles, Ryan's been running this mystery box.
Melee. I have. I thought you were
doing one more. I did. I blanked out for a second there. I had a momentary blackout. But Mystery Box Melee on our Discord server. We're doing fun stuff. Join our Discord is what I'm saying.
Come hang out.
Yeah.
I did the last what was the longest one?
Like seven. It was like seven clues.
I can't even remember what the clue was. It was
Benny and June.
It was Benny and June.
Benny and June did go for a long time. That's right. I was trying to get to that level. Did they go six or right?
They seven, had to Sean, go obscure with that one.
Yeah.
I spent 4 days on a cruise and nobody could solve the puzzle. I get it.
That's what it was.
That's 100% what it was.
Got Toxie. Or Surf Nazis Must Die.
Surf Nazis, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. And that was a very Kyle pick, so it made it...
Yeah, it was.
It made the community aspect more important.
Mm-hmm. Dude, when you posted that, the reason why I put Escape from LA was the surfing in Escape from LA.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact
you were
that
so close. I wanted to send you a message and be like, dog.
Right there. You're right there.
Same thing with Paul Korn when he surf ninjas. I was like, dude, if you only knew.
Man.
I saw Surf In and I was like, oh, they got it.
They got it.
I was like, oh, wait.
Wow. Yeah, I got to read faster.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how often on like clue one or clue two, somebody gets really close and then they go off on a completely
so
different
far away
direction.
Yeah.
And then it's so easy to like think you picked up a thread and follow the wrong one.
Mm-hmm. Like that Anton Yelchin one where I think it was just yourself, Brian, and me who went with the 27 club day one and then just veered right off that for 3 days.
I had to come back to it eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I wrote it off too. I was just like, nope, not that.
It was yesterday or maybe it was today. It was last night. I wrote Ryan. I was like, so is this around the time you start to panic that maybe you did make it too hard? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah. But I think Cal Bungle will get him. I was like, all right, good.
Honestly, I actually sent my message this morning before I read the new clue. I just knew there was a new clue when I sent it because I figured it out at some point yesterday. I was like, I think it's got to be that.
Nice. Yeah. He didn't even need Cal Bunga, y'all.
I didn't.
Nice.
So if you're listening and you're not in that Discord, I'm sure you can tell right now that this is a good fucking time. And it's like one daily clue every day. Leading you towards what you're supposed to be guessing. And it's kind of a mad dash every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time when that drops to either try to get yours in or strategically place yours so that people might not see where you're thinking. And like, that's what I do because I'm
like
a filthy man.
20 questions, but you only get to ask one question a day.
Yeah. But you do get to see what everybody else guesses.
And that's makes it.
There's the community aspect.
Yeah.
My
questions.
The tweak I think I have going forward potentially is maybe putting people on teams. Oh. Everybody still gets one guess, but I think a team would encourage groupthink and then allow me to be more vague because people are then playing off each other. But that is just an idea. I have other ideas going, but this game is always going to be evolving.
I like it. Mm. Random teams assigned and a season of like this.
I've thought about
guesses.
A season two, starting in April and just going for a month and then have like a winner of the season. And then maybe like they get a Discord Nitro membership or something.
I like
it. Oh, shit.
And if they're like decent, they would then use it to boost our server. So,
right.
It's all cyclical. It's all a circle happy.
Invest it back in. But yeah, that'd be great. I am so down to, if you're ever like, man, I need a break from thinking of these. I can talk.
I thought up my own and I wrote him. I was like, hey, would you do a guest? Yeah, I want it to be this. And he's like, yeah, all right. It's tomorrow. I was like, tight. So
sweet.
And that's fire. Open for anybody. If anybody wants to throw a host a game.
If anybody wants to take a game off my plate, I'm okay with it.
It is fun because, like I said, I was trying to make it vague but fair, but also circumvent AI so that you can't just straight
That's
Google
the tough
it.
Part.
It is fun. It's an own puzzle for yourself making it, too, because I cannot win this fucking game, and I needed a break from guessing. It's like, God damn it, if I lose again, I'm going to snap. Give me a break.
I'm like so wired to not even want to, like, I wouldn't use AI in this because I want to follow these crumbs, you know? Right. I want to, like, I'm on Google and I'm typing.
I have so much fun doing the deep
dive. I would never use AI. Yeah. I'll Google my own things to try 100%. To get where I'm at, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm almost like Charlie, just like creating this board.
100%.
And like,
yeah. And again, that's why we go off on the wrong tangents.
I know I was talking to Sean about like when the Anton Yelchin one, we were going looking for that one. I went on a deep dive thinking that like the 27 was a clue to the letters B and G. And then the next clue was blues guitar. And I was like, BG again. See, he's leading us down a weird fucking path. And I realized that I was thinking way too much about it then.
That's hilarious.
Here's the thing, Ryan. You're
what
worried.
What a coincidence, though.
That it's too hard and that people are thinking. I promise you, people are thinking. All I'm thinking about is the ridiculous hard shit. Right. Like, I am not going on the easy stuff. And you know what? It's everybody else's. It's on them.
I'm like, what kind of fuckery is he doing on this one? And it's usually not fuckery at all.
Because I try to play to Ryan, and Ryan has played to the fucking bass every time.
I'm not playing
to
Ryan.
Weird art house indie. All over the I'm deep diving into Ryan and it's fucking cool runnings or Mrs. Doubtfire. It's like, God damn it. Oh, I went with Salo in 120 Days of Sodom. Fuck.
Doc has made sure it is never going to be Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm definitely making a Robin Williams adjacent next time. Just
Flubber. Just let's to go. Do it.
Fucking Flubber.
Just to do
that's
it.
What you gotta do. Uh-huh.
Or even better. Nope, I'm not. I can't say it now because I just got it, and I'm and I'm sending it to Ryan for a future.
Bicentennial man.
Now, Kyle, did you plan your clues too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I said. I wrote everything out. Like I had the I had the one I wanted to get, and that's what I said. Ryan smartly combined the first two, which I think was a great move to say movie sport instead of because I was going movie, and then the next day would say sport. Sure. And he's like, nah, give it to him this way first.
Then we wouldn't have gotten it until tomorrow. Yeah.
I think it's so much better having two clues together on the first day, even if it's something like this, where it's just like a sport hidden in a movie or something like that.
The time that you gave us celebrity, I almost like threw my phone across the room. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
The first day is impossible.
That's why I give two clues now, because of that moment specifically.
I was like, that's a bigger category than
clues,
all the other
ones
combined
and then it went to one.
So
I was like, fuck! Guess I'll wait for tomorrow.
It was great. Anyways, folks, we fucking pulled out 7-ish minutes on this alone. So it's a lot of fun.
Not a good ad for the Discord, then I don't know what is.
Come hang out. Yeah. It is a real treat. I was trying to say rare, and then I got mush mouth. And for the rest of the plugs, treat. I'm going to kick it to Sean.
Yeah, so if you dig the idea of that, or you want to hear us talk about cum dust, head on over to...
Yes!
Treats. Linktree/experience grind. You'll find our Discord there. You'll find our Patreon, patreon.com/experience grind. So again, link, it's that weird like linktr.ee/experience grind. Everything's there. And I am, I'm all set on my plugs. I'm going to send it back to the Game Master Ryan, though, because I think it's his pick next week. So I'm just curious if you've got something lined up for us.
Well, it is convenient that you're hyping me up as the Game Master, because I'm going to take a break from movies and all kinds of things next week for a game episode. And we're going to have a game, because one of my favorite YouTube channels has returned, Movie Fights, where people debate on a topic and they get graded as such. It is about how you debate. It is about countering other people's points. It is not about who is right or wrong. It is about the format and debate and the spirit of debate. And with that, I'm going to have you guys debate next week. Name is to be determined of the game. I'm leaning towards hot seat, hot take, but it could also change.
But you are
going to be debating each other. I'm going to give you your questions ahead of time to prepare. At the end, the two who have done the best will be going into a spur of the cuff head-to-head battle, which will not be prepared for. You're just going to have to wing it and come up with your answers on the spot and defend them.
Fuck.
Fascinating.
Very interesting.
So you're the mediator.
Why do you got to do this on a fucking week?
Yes, I am going to be the judge and rate you again on your debate.
Okay.
Not so the movie. So it's not, don't pander to me, because that's not going to get you points.
No, I want to
hear the arguments.
And it might be an argument that we don't necessarily agree with, but we've got to make that argument. I like this now.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. True. You can pick something.
Well,
exactly.
Done,
okay.
Wait, do you already have these things lined up?
I am working on finalizing them. Yes.
Okay. Because I am going to need days so I can whip your guys' ass.
Yeah. You
but
will have
do you think
them?
We should just start our own ARG? Like, should we do our own
I
work?
Am,
because like,
yeah. Right?
Feels
I'm going
like
to
we
obsess
the...
about this.
We have the
Sean,
means.
Give the positive cultural
impact
of
span.
The triumph of the will.
The triumph of the what?
Meanwhile, Kyle, what's the best movie, butt?
Oh, shit. God damn
it. Oh, wow.
My brain
no, Sean, that's your question. Well, you have to go with that, Sean. But Kyle, what's your favorite butt?
It's Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, immediately went to
I don't see
Jennifer Lopez and Money Train.
Hmm.
I don't think that's the
immediately
best answer.
I go Selma Hayek in Wild Wild West.
That's awesome.
Because it's the one thing I remember good about good. Wild Wild West.
Wow.
How does it affect our debating skills if the person who's the other debater, when the person says the thing and you just go full Robert De Niro, like, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a strategy.
Probably doesn't work in my favor, right? I feel like I'm gonna do that a lot.
All right, boys, this was fun. The Institute,
it was very fun.
You can find it on YouTube. It's on Pluto, but it's so many ads. I recommend watching it on YouTube.
Dude, I had to stop watching it and go rent it. Couldn't deal with it.
It was so many ads.
I subscribed to a free week trial of a documentary service that I'm 100% gonna forget to cancel.
See,
literally,
so it is a documentary.
Literally had that option and was like, I'm going to Sean this. I'm just going to rent it.
I went to screenshot.
I was like, I'm not going to forget.
Me signing up and send it to you guys being like, I'm still going to be paying for this in a year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I was like, I will Sean this and not unsubscribe. I'll just rent.
I'm actually
canceling
$4 right now. I'm glad
that's actually a great idea.
Thank you, Brian.
Until next week, y'all. Go solve yourself.